Hello and welcome to Shades and Layers. I'm your host, Kutwano Skosana Richie, and today we are talking luxury hats for afros and curls. Reina is a brand new hat company founded by Colorado-based entrepreneur Rachel Osborne. The former software engineer knew that she was onto something when she surveyed her community to find out what was missing by way of accessories for curls. Rachel launched her adjustable luxury hat range at the end of 2023 and has since collaborated with some notable brands in the hair care space. We get into all of that during our conversation, and she also talks about some of the surprises and affirmations she has received along her journey so far. She talks her entrepreneurship curriculum as well as her vision as a founder. Without further ado, here is Rachel Osborne.
I'm Rachel Osborne. I'm the founder of Reina, which is a satin-lined hat brand for women with curly and textured hair. And so my brand was inspired, one, by my own natural hair journey, and its mission behind it is to help other women of color love their hair and, you know, have with through a brand that really celebrates it in all of its beauty.
Yeah, great. And why didn't you create a hair product in the traditional sense and go for our hats?
That's a great question. I guess it was a couple of different things that went into me deciding to create this brand. I'd actually had the idea for a satin lined hat a few years back before I even started Reina. Mm-hmm. I think I was like walking on the beach and I love big beach hats, and I usually have to pull my hair back in order to wear them because my hair's kind of poofy. And so I was just thinking like, oh, it'd be really great if someone made this like satin line so it didn't like snag my hair and I could wear my hair out.
Yeah.
And then kind of fast forward a few years, I started to really appreciate the power of sharing my natural hair story and mm-hmm. kind of the positive impact that that had on other people and realized that this wasn't just something that I went through in terms of struggling to learn to appreciate and love my hair the way that it is. Mm-hmm. This is something that many women work through, and kind of through looking through that lens and also seeing how, you know, a lot of brands don't necessarily cater towards our hair or don't think of the needs of our hair. In terms of like, you know, there are a lot of hat brands out there.
Sure.
But, you know, like I never would have thought to wear a wool hat, for example.
Sure.
Before my brand.
Yeah. That would be a nightmare. But, yes.
Exactly. Like, you understand it's the frizz, the like dryness, like mm-hmm. it's soaking all the moisture, just everything. I was like, there's no way. And so I felt like no brands had really put our hair first, really. Yeah. And I thought that could be it. By making a brand that puts our hair first, that's like almost a testament to how we should be looking at our hair. Like it's royal. It's something that deserves to be put first in the product space. Yeah. And so I guess between those two things, I was like, this would be a great way to kind of spread my message and empower others. And then also just, you know, have a product that's functional and practical that people like too. And I felt like there was a gap in the market because, I started seeing some brands that were creating satin line products like, satin line beanies or sweatshirts and that sort of thing. Yeah. More casual products.
Yeah.
And I love that too. And I was thinking how, you know, it'd be cool if we had more options and things that were maybe a bit like higher fashion or just like, you know, things you might wear out on a date or like, you know, I mean, you can wear a on a date, but you know, a little different.
I get you. But you know, but also the emphasis on luxury. Can you talk about what makes it luxury products?
So actually that's a great segue there because I saw so many more casual items, casual and also unisex, I felt like there weren't enough things that were kind of more like luxury feel, kind of showing that our hair can be luxury high end too. And I just noticed that narrative in general. In our products and also especially on social media that like, you know, our natural hair is fine most of the time, but then for like fancy events, it's like, oh, that's when you want to straighten it. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted to break that narrative a little bit. And it's not that I'm like, you know, against straight hair or extensions or anything, but it's like, where is it coming from? Like, are you wearing your hair a certain way because you just like how it looks and you're like, you know, you love the feel, that's great. Mm-hmm. Or is it because you want to hide something and, or maybe you don't feel like you're accepted with your hair the way it is. That's like the negative driver that I'm kind of more focused on changing, I guess.
Right.
And and so I felt like I wanted to have something that celebrated all the different hairstyles that we wear in a more like higher end formal luxury feel. And so all of my products, some of it or part of it is just the quality of them. So yeah. Like, this is 100% wool. There's no like plastic or anything in it. And it's slow fashion, right? So sure. Like a high quality wool hat should last anywhere from like 5 to 10 years. So it's an investment.
Wonderful.
Yeah. It should last a long time if you take care of it and like, you know, keep it clean and all that stuff.
Do you only make wool hats or do you work with other materials?
I work with other materials too. So I have 2 wool hats. I have this one. This is a fedora. Yeah. I have a boater hat, which is, it's like a beige color. And then I have a straw hat. And that was actually at first was going to be my only product, but I was like, let me try some other like wool hats too.
Right.
People might like that.
Yeah.
And so the straw hat, it's wide brimmed, floppy, great for like, you know, sunny days or going out on the beach.
Yeah.
And that one, I have seen some wool hats that have a satin lining, but aren't like adjustable and they're not quite the same as mine, but I've never seen a straw hat or anything like the one that I sell before.
Yeah.
It's raffia straw. So it's natural fiber. Mm-hmm. And that one too will probably last anywhere from like 2 to 5 years if you take good care of it. Yeah. So yeah, it's the quality, the longevity, it's an investment.
Right.
That,
and know, there's a key word that you mentioned there, adjustable. Ha.
Yeah. Yeah. So because a lot of us change our hairstyles often, I was thinking like, you know, if I did want to straighten my hair for a day or something, you know, like it's not going to be as voluminous. Right. And so what if the hat doesn't fit anymore? Cause now it's too big. And so because of that, I was thinking it would be cool to have something that could kind of allow the hat to adjust to our changing hairstyles. Since so many of us go from braids to, you know, silk press to fro or whatever.
Yeah.
And so the inside, it has like a drawstring.
Okay.
So you can adjust it down. And right now I just have one size for all of the hats. So one size fits most. And then if you have a small head or you change your hairstyle, you can change the fit.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. So this brings me to manufacturing. But you've come on the market with something which is quite different and isn't out there at the moment. So how did you go about finding people to make this product?
Yeah, it was definitely tricky, especially as a small business. I'm bootstrapping everything. So that definitely had some limitations in terms of, you know, the order sizes I could make in the beginning. Like I couldn't just go and order for 1,000 hats. I had to kind of start out with small orders and I'm still doing that. And so one, finding a supplier that would accommodate that, because a lot of them won't customize products if you're doing like under, you know, a certain quantity, like under 100 or under 50 or what have you. And so that was the first obstacle, just finding someone who's willing to work with me, who could customize something with a small quantity. And then the other part of it was helping them, and this was more on me, just being able to articulate exactly what I needed. And so the supplier that I work with, it was kind of interesting because they didn't understand at first why I needed a satin lining.
Right.
Cause they were like, that's not common. Like, are you sure you want that? And I was like, yes, yeah. I know it's usual, but yes, I want that. And then the whole thing with the sizing too, cause you know, I think the average woman's hat size is like a 57 and this is a 59. And then my other wool hat is also 59 and the straw hat is a 61. Which is normally that would be like, you know, really big, but it's like, we have a lot of hair, we need a larger sizing. And so I had to kind of articulate that. And so a lot of it has been education to like educating other people through my brand, which is something that I wasn't expecting to do, but.
Right. That's interesting. And do you find that there are quite a few, I mean, did you have options in terms of those manufacturers, small batch, so to speak, or you just had to zone in on this one?
Right now I just have one manufacturer. They're the only one I could find who would work with me at that quantity size. But I'm hoping in the future I can, as I scale up, I'll have more options and you know, can play with different manufacturers.
Great And in terms of materials, sourcing the materials, do you do that yourself or it's supplied by the factory?
No, it's supplied by the factory. One thing that I have been trying to work on though is, I think you mentioned sustainability. And so when it comes to like packaging and shipping things out to my customers, that's one thing that I thought about really intentionally in the beginning was, how can I make it so that this is at the very least all recyclable? And because, for example, a lot of boxes, if they have plastic tape, like that tape's not recyclable. You have to take that off before it can actually be recycled. And so even though it was a harder option, I kind of went through, did the extra work to make sure all my packaging is recyclable. So I use paper tape, which I don't know if you've ever used water-activated paper tape. It's a bit of a pain, to be honest.
but it's worth appreciated it. When I see it on packaging, because it doesn't put that extra burden on you as the customer, right? Which is what prevents us from being, you know, more conscious of how we consume
things. Exactly. Yeah. So just thinking about that going forward, right now, my suppliers, when they send me inventory in bulk, it does have plastic in the packaging. And so that's something that I'm going to be working with them on moving forward, is for like future orders, trying to see if they can omit the plastic or use like paper or something else for supporting it.
Yeah. It's so hard to break these cycles, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But we have to think about it, because I know the fashion industry, I think, is one of the top polluters in the world. Yeah. I'm trying to be really conscious and intentional with my choices.
Yeah. And I like that you are a slow fashion brand. You know, you're not concentrating on volume. So do you sell any kind of bulk to anybody, or, you know, you work to order?
Not yet. Yeah. Right now, I just, everything's through my website. Hoping that in the future, maybe I can wholesale to boutiques or that sort of thing. But right now it's just, business to consumer, which is kind of cool too, because then I feel like I get to build that connection with my customers more too. And I like the impact of that.
Yeah. I think luxury brands are lucky in that sense that, you know, your customers can tell you what works and what doesn't work, because they're so invested in the product, right?
It's definitely. I've already gotten some feedback. Some people have mentioned they'd love to see like a red fedora in the future.
Oh, nice. See, product development, free. Yeah, that's fantastic.
This is Shades and Layers, and today we are speaking to Rachel Osborne, founder of Reina, a luxury adjustable hat brand that centers curly and kinky hair. Inspired by Rachel's own natural hair journey, this entrepreneurial venture is also about making an impact on the lives of others. Up next, we get into where Rachel finds herself along this journey and where her brand fits into their natural hair care space.
You mentioned that this was influenced by your hair journey. Can you tell me where you are in terms of your hair journey now?
So I guess I started when I was like little, like in middle school, because growing up, all the women in my family, we straightened our hair or had relaxers. I never had a relaxer, but I always straightened it, because that was just kind of what we all knew in terms of how to take care of it, in terms of what we thought made it manageable was, okay, we got to straighten it and that makes it look neat. And so a lot of it was like unlearning that. YouTube was like a great resource for me growing up. So unlearning that and learning how to actually take care of my hair, but then also learning how to accept it. I think that was the hardest part for me, was, you know, I definitely had a lot of like limiting beliefs and fears around how people would think of me if I wore my hair natural, because that's just, I guess, culturally, that's just not how I grew up. And so, I'd say now I'm definitely at a much more like positive place in terms of the way I look at my hair and the way I care for it. I've kind of gotten to a place where I'm like, I love my hair. And if someone else has a problem with it, that's on them.
Absolutely.
But I think it's been a long journey to get to where I am now with that mindset.
Do you think it's influenced by the products that are available in the market now? Or, you know, I know YouTube was quite instrumental, but, you know, you can watch all the YouTube that you want, but there are other layers to the whole thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's multifaceted. It's the products that we see around us. It's like the advertisements, the marketing, everything in media, and then also just our community. Because like I mentioned, my family as a whole, we didn't really know how to take care of our hair. Yeah. And I think not having those like in-person role models who, you know, could show me an example of someone wearing their hair natural confidently definitely made it harder. And so that's part of it. And then, like I said, media, or even just like the advertisements we see for products, if those are kind of showing that in order to be a beautiful Black woman, you have to have straight hair, that's like, especially as a young girl, it's very impressionable. Yeah. You know, even if it's not overtly stated, those messages are absorbed And so if we're seeing that our whole life, mm-hmm. it's like, what is that saying about me if I don't wear my hair straight? Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think that it's definitely gotten better in terms of the products that we have now. And I remember, I don't know about you, but when I was younger, we just had like do-rags or like scarves to sleep in.
Yeah.
But now they have like all these different colored bonnets.
Oh, and, there's like, everything.
Yeah. So it's fun. Yeah. It is. It's fun. It like, for me, I feel like it tells me that my hair is thought of and it's appreciated more just in general, which I think is a really beautiful thing. But absolutely. Yeah, I think the products, the range of products that we have available to us, how the advertising speaks to us, all of that plays a role for sure.
Yeah. Where do you think Reina fits into the whole landscape of this natural hair journey?
Yeah, good question. I want to say I know about the name of my brand too. Yeah, so Reina, if you know Spanish, it kind of sounds like the word queen in Spanish, right? And then also across a couple of different other languages, it means queen. And so there's a lot of symbolism in there, of course, of how like our hair is a crown and it should be thought of like that. And that's kind of the feel that I want to impart on everyone who comes into contact with my brand. And so the way that I see my brand is just, it's another piece of the puzzle in terms of building up that positive representation of Black hair and all the different hairstyles that we wear. And so if you go on my site, like you'll see the three models I have, they have, you know, one has natural hair, one has braids, one has straight extensions. Mm-hmm. And that's like, you know, as Black women, we wear all sorts of different hairstyles and they should all be celebrated. And so kind of just adding that extra representation so that, you know, as we go through our day-to-day lives, we kind of start to see more and more of this. And so that's kind of where I see our brand fitting in. It's like, it's a piece of the puzzle of the larger landscape.
Yeah. Yeah. It normalizes in a sense. Yes. Yeah. 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 That's great. So you started the brand because you wanted to solve a problem for yourself, like most entrepreneurs. But was this, you know, a stumble upon to go the entrepreneurial path, or have you always wanted to own your own business?
I think I've always been an entrepreneur at heart. Mm-hmm. I think it's just in my character. It's just part of my personality. I used to have like a 9-to-5 and now I do Reina. And then also I'm a realtor, which is kind of like having another business. Right. And so,
it's great.
But yes, to answer your question, I think I've always been an entrepreneur at heart. I just didn't really realize it until the past few years. But
And what's been the most surprising thing about running a slow fashion brand?
Well, I kind of say this before, and it's not specifically related to the fact that it's a fashion brand, but more so just the amount of education or opportunities for educating like people who, like non-Black people, about our hair. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been a really cool thing to do because some people just don't know. And they're like, oh, like what's the importance of the satin lining? And so I get to kind of use that as an opportunity to explain why it's significant and kind of what hair means to us in our culture. Mm-hmm. And so that was something I was not expecting, but I think I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah. Do you know Stephanie LaFlora? Because that brings her to mind.
I do.
Okay. Yeah. I've interviewed her before. So I'm like, an education part to it.
Yeah. I know her.
And she's in Colorado. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Cool. And, you know, this education part, I know it's a cultural thing, but, you know, how do some of the, you know, are there any similarities between being a realtor and being a fashion brand owner?
That's a hard question. I'm actually a newer realtor, so I'm still kind of feeling out the waters in this market, but nothing that really comes to mind immediately. I mean, just as a business owner, for sure, all the like marketing, that is the same. Like, it's the same sort of thing in terms of email marketing and getting your name out there. So that has transferred over very well. But in terms of like a deeper level, I don't know. I'll have to think about that one a little bit more.
speaking of a deeper level, I mean, apart from, you know, it personally, I would say, what's the deeper meaning do you attach to your day-to-day activities?
I guess it's hoping that my brand will help someone or another woman in their hair journey, make it easier for them. And so they don't have to go through the same like struggles and pains that I did. Because I mean, I still have bad hair days, or like days when I look at my hair and I'm like, you know, I have maybe a negative thought about it, but it's definitely way fewer and far between than maybe a few years ago. Mm-hmm. But some of those moments of, you know, frustration were really, really hard. And so I guess my goal is that I can at least like touch one person's life and help them not have those same negative feelings, or at least make it easier so they don't have to, you know, kind of struggle as much.
Yeah. Great. So what is, lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
Okay.
There are so many things I want to ask you. That's why.
Yeah.
Okay. So we, okay. So the entrepreneurial journey. Okay. So what are some of the challenges that you've come across? I mean, first it was the manufacturing small batch, but you know, in terms of the operational stuff that you do yourself, are there any things that you had to overcome that, that you can think of and share for an aspiring entrepreneur?
Yeah, I mean, the beginning, so I just launched in November, so still relatively newer brand. The beginning was definitely a challenge working with the suppliers, even, you know, because for me as a smaller brand, and also ordering in smaller quantities, it's a lot higher stakes if lose inventory or something. And actually there was a whole thing in the beginning where FedEx delivered a large batch of my inventory to the wrong house. Oh, and gosh. I was freaking out. It was very stressful.
Okay.
But I found it. Yeah, it was okay. So just little things like that. Again, because I'm a smaller brand, so my packaging, it's like you have the box and then the hat is kind of cradled. Mm-hmm. There's like a cardboard support to make sure that doesn't get crushed while in transit. And so I like cut that out myself. And that's definitely a bit time consuming. And because right now I don't do like custom orders of packaging. And so that's like another, I guess, not exactly challenge, but just something that kind of I had to account for that I wasn't expecting of like, okay, how do I factor that into my schedule with, you know, cutting out all these inserts and everything. And then I think my ability to pivot in terms of product development has been something that I'm kind of still kind of figuring out. Like I mentioned, I've had some people say like, oh, I'd love to see this color, or I'd love to see like this style. And so I'm like, okay, like when can I kind of fit that in? How does that fall into my whole product line and development? And so it's been a whole learning process for me. So every step of the way there's been something. But yeah, I'm still learning. And at this point I'm pivoting a little bit and trying to collaborate with other Black owned brands and build like kind of grow in community together. And so that's something that I'm playing with right now, is trying to do like giveaways or just other things with brands, content sharing and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I saw that you had a live with Avocurl. So it's mostly hair products.
Hair products. I'm talking to a brand that is, they're like natural hair extensions. So like I said, it's also a hair product. And then another brand I'm talking to, she does like luxury handbags and sunglasses.
Accessories. It's nice. You can touch all these different adjacent products and industries. Fantastic. That's great.
Rachel Osborne is the guest today on Shades and Layers. Her luxury hat brand, Reina, was created to give options to the curly and kinky head when it came to accessorizing. Up next, we get into all the things and the people that have inspired her throughout her life, as well as what she has in store for the future.
So who are some of the entrepreneurs you look to for inspiration at the moment, or that you've looked to as you were trying to put this brand together?
That's a great question. Probably one of my favorite entrepreneurs is Jamie Kern Lima, who I don't know if you've, she's the founder of It Cosmetics.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And one thing that I think is really interesting too about her story. So her brand got bought by L'Oreal, and then, that made her the first, she was the CEO of the brand, I guess, within L'Oreal. And so she was the first female CEO of a L'Oreal company, which I think is wild because like, you know, L'Oreal for most of its history has been something that's marketed makeup to women, but it's been led by men. And I think that parallels really well too, to a lot of these Black hair care brands. A lot of them have, are not necessarily run by Black people, which I think is interesting. But yeah, I love Jamie Kern Lima's story. It's really inspiring to me. She's, I mean, as with most successful entrepreneurs, she's jumped over a lot of hurdles. She's had so many challenges in her path. Mm-hmm. And so I guess whenever I hit something that is challenging, like when my inventory was delivered to the wrong place, I kind of think of her and her story and I'm like, hey, if she can do it.
Yeah. Great. Speaking of stories, are there any business books that you can think of that you would recommend to anybody who wants to start a new brand?
I read a lot of self-development books, so not business per se, but I think a lot of building a business is working on yourself. Especially
you learn a lot about yourself.
And especially in the beginning, if you're the only person, you're the most important part of your business. So you got to work on yourself. Sure. So, my favorite book is probably Psycho-Cybernetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. It's about self-image and it's really interesting and definitely kind of changed the way that I look at things a little bit. And then in terms of like practical or not practical, but you know, more like logical or strategies, that sort of thing. I like Blue Ocean Sales and Marketing is a good one.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of
It's a classic.
And Purple Cow by Seth Godin. It's a short read.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. That's a good one. Yeah. Getting into your personal story, are there any events or people that you would credit with contributing to how you carry yourself in the world today?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a long list, honestly. I'm trying to think.
I'm sure, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is a little cliche, but like both my parents, I think in terms of the hair journey, they kind of, like I mentioned, my mom, she did the best she could in terms of what she knew how to do and taking care of her hair. A little bit different perspective, but just in terms of her own journey and her career and everything, I feel like I've learned from both of them that's okay to go against the status quo a little bit and challenge ideas, especially if you don't think that they're correct. And that's something that's been, I think, really instrumental in just my growth as a person. And even like my career trajectory of kind of breaking out of my previous career, which, you know, some would say is like was a very safe career and trying, you know, all these crazy things like starting my brand and starting.
What were you doing?
I was a software engineer. So, yeah, I'd say definitely my parents, my family for sure. In terms of my hair journey specifically, Natural 85, I don't know. I've been watching her. I don't watch her stuff as much anymore, but like in the early 2000s. She was definitely.
She has been the guru for many, many Black women around
Absolutely.
The world.
Yeah. But I mean, like, especially as a young girl and then into a young woman, like having that example of someone who appreciates and loves and has beautiful hair was so instrumental for me. And so, and also I learned a lot from her. So I've never met her before, but I will shout her out because she's definitely been a big.
Soon enough. Yeah. If you had to summarize your life in a book, what would you call the memoir and why?
So I don't think this is a word, but something to the tune of like de-perfectionism or. Perfectionized.
Nice.
I've always been a perfectionist, and in some ways it has served me well, but I've realized, especially over the past few years, that I've kind of had to unravel that a bit to become who I am now. And I think that trying to do everything perfectly the first time usually just ends up in spending a lot of time, not wasting time, but not doing things as and not achieving as quickly as maybe you could. And so right now I'm trying to move myself more towards just taking messy action and getting that feedback and learning from it and being okay with making mistakes and falling down. And that's something that for me was hard to learn because just for a long time I was like afraid of failing, afraid of messing up, that sort of thing. And so that's been kind of like something that's woven through my whole life of just trying to unlearn that and learn that it's okay to fail and you actually can't even succeed without failing first. So
fail fast.
Yeah.
And Deep Perfectionism, who would you choose to be the lead actress in the film version of the book?
So I love Holly Bailey. I think she's amazing. And I love that as her role in The Little Mermaid, she, for our younger generation, is now like that role model of a Disney princess. I think that's so awesome. And yeah, I just, would be cool.
Yeah, she's a whole vibe, man.
Yeah,
she's cool. Very, very cool. Who would you invite? Which famous Black woman would you invite to dinner and why?
Oh, definitely Michelle Obama.
Good. Yeah.
I mean, she's just like, she's inspiring to me in terms of everything that she did as the first lady. And then even after after President Obama left the office, like she's just done so much. And yeah, so I would love to have a conversation with her and just be in her aura and see what I pick up from it.
Just breathing the same air.
Taking it in.
And what's the best advice you've ever received and still live by today?
That's a good one. Let me think about that for a second.
Sure. Take your time.
Yeah. I mean, talking about like failure and everything, I don't remember who said it, but there's a quote that's like, the best way to succeed faster is to double your rate of failure. And so I think about that a lot now of just like, how can I kind of like, or you can replace that word with rejection to a lot of people, like failure and rejection are kind of similar sort of things. And so now when I think of like my achieving a goal or something, I'm like, how do I like go for no's? Like the more no's I get, the closer I get to a yes, or like times I fall down, the faster I'll learn and get to like the thing that I'm really going for. So I think of that quote a lot in general when I'm going through my day.
And what's contributed to this mindset shift?
Well, I think a couple of things. One, my mental health. I think that I realized my perfectionism wasn't supportive of that as much. I kind of noticed various different things come from me being a perfectionist that I wanted to change just so that I could be mentally healthier. So I think there's that. Back in 2020, that's kind of where my entrepreneurial journey started of like I started reading more books just about mindset and about business and all these things and how you can really change your whole perspective on life by just shifting your mindset. And so that's kind of, I've used a lot of books as mentors almost. And through a lot of those, it's a recurring theme of, you have to take that messy action. And so I just kind of tried to embody that more, just as I learned more. Yeah.
And if someone wanted to start a career like yours, where would you tell them to start?
Definitely would tell them to like start with market research. I mean, I don't know if that's too obvious of an answer, but I found that to be really helpful for me. Like in the beginning to develop the products I did and just the styles, I had like a little survey I typed up and I sent out to a bunch of people who like all the people I knew who I thought might be in my target audience. And then I asked some friends and family to send it out and like seeing if you can like get feedback from real people. I think that's definitely was very helpful for me. And then also for me to see what's already out there and what hasn't been done. Cause at first I just had the idea in my head, but I was like, I don't know if this has already been done. Like, are there other things that are similar? I'm not sure. And so how kind of validating that idea really thoroughly, before really going into it, I think was good, especially since I'm bootstrapping everything. So it's like, I wanted to be really confident in my idea before putting in that initial investment.
And when did you realize you have a business?
Like last March, I guess a year ago or so, because that's when I was doing that research and I was trying to find products that were like similar to what was in my head. And I was like, there isn't really anything here. And so that's when I was like, okay, I think I should just try it out.
So what is your vision for Reina in the future?
Yeah. So I've mentioned, I would love to be able to bring in a few more styles. And just, I have like some ideas in mind already of, okay, things I want to try and bring in maybe this winter, we'll see. I would like to get into wholesaling in the future, like not this year, but once I've grown a bit more, and then just, see where it takes me. I like that collaborations I've been doing, I feel like that kind of gives me the opportunity to tell my story to more people. And at the end of the day, it's the impact that I want. I mean, like, you know, selling products is cool too, but I want to have
there's a bigger mission here. Right?
Yeah. I want to have a positive impact on people. And so I think I want to keep doing those brand collaborations and like the lives and those sorts of things to like just kind of show other women who are maybe in the middle of their journey, starting out at the end, that they are not alone. And, you know, other people are going through this too.
So. Would you ever consider going for a round of funding?
Possibly. Yeah. I kind of want to grow it a little bit bigger on my own first before I consider doing that. But it's something I have thought about.
Where can people find you if they want to buy a hat or just, you know, get in touch and hear your story?
Yeah. So my website is shoprina.com. It's shop and then R-A-I-N-A. And I also am on Instagram at shop_Rina. And so either one would be good. And also, like, I respond to all my messages, so you can email me or like DM me through Instagram. Like, I love chatting with my customers and just people. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, perfect. And that is all from me this time around. Links to Rachel's work and other resources she mentioned in this episode are included in the show notes. If you found this episode inspirational or useful in some way, please be sure to spread the love and share it with a friend. Thank you for listening. I'm Kutwanos Kosana Richie, and until next time, please do take good care.